And here we go. I am Matt. This is the Anarchist Investor. It is noon Eastern. Coming at you every Monday through Friday at this time, talking about contrarian investment, markets, the economy. Got a good one for you. I'm going to pull this banner out of the way. And here we are off and running. As you can see in the hold screen at the beginning of the video, and if you're listening, I'll talk about it. Here's this story out of the Harvard Business Review. Why companies are sitting on cash right now. The number, and again, the date of this was February 5th, so it's outdated by about a month, but the number is still staggering. U.S. firms, non-banking U.S. firms, have increased their hoards of cash, reaching $6.9 trillion. A lot of this money, it's very top-heavy in terms of where it's sitting. So companies like Apple and Google and Amazon have just gigantic cash hoards. But on average, non-banks are holding on to a ton of cash. Now, why are they doing that? The answer is, and let me pull down the screen share. The answer is that the bailout already happened. This actually came up and has come up a couple of times on Simon's podcast or his vlog on Uneducated Economist. It is his contention, and I agree with him, that the reason why we're not like crashing right now economically and we're just kind of like suffering through this rolling recession, or he calls it a non-recession recession, is because we effectively bailed out the vast majority of corporations, at least large corporations, before the real kind of economic trouble set in. And so the lockdowns and COVID gave the Federal Reserve and the federal government the opportunity to essentially have a blank check to get these corporations to the point where they're all flush with cash, to the tune of, you know, trillions and trillions of dollars. And a lot of the money, actually the vast majority of the money, the stimulus money that came out of COVID and the lockdowns in 2020 and everything like that, went to companies. It went to private interests. And I think the assumption was, oh, well, that money was going to save jobs. But truthfully, the supply disruption and the stay home lockdown kind of thing, it affected certain industries worse than it affected others. But the industries that weren't as affected as others and actually benefited, they got cash too. Okay, so you have to remember that this wasn't just a way of softening the blow. They printed and borrowed literally 25% of the U.S. the world supply of currency of U.S. dollars. Sorry, not the world supply of currency, the world supply of U.S. dollars. They printed and borrowed 25% of everything that was in existence. Didn't exist in 2019, right? In 2020, all of a sudden it materialized. So where did all the cash go? The cash is sitting on balance sheets at these companies. And so think of what you have right now. You have an economic environment where consumer spending, the only thing that's propping it up is inflation, because consumers are buying less things. It's just everything's more expensive, right? And so corporate profits are good, because corporate profits saw this ahead of time. And essentially what they did was they started streamlining their operations. So there was a wave of firing that happened and layoffs that happened in 2022, which I believe was affectionately deemed on CNBC the year of efficiency. So there was a lot of the COVID hiring and immediately past COVID hiring that then turned into layoffs and restructuring. They also changed their business plans, and they fixed, or at least they're in the process of fixing, their supply chain issues. Meanwhile, they're sitting on huge amounts of cash. Why is that important? Well, we're dealing with a debt hangover. We've been dealing with a debt hangover for basically ever since 2007, 2008, when the bubble popped, right? And so the Federal Reserve knew that they were going to have to raise interest rates to rein in inflation. They knew that they were going to get inflation. They were actually targeting it, okay? So because they knew that, they also knew that they were going to have to provide some cushion for companies so that there wasn't massive waves of bankruptcies, okay? Because these companies were going to have to restructure debt, or they were going to need a lot of cash on hand to be able to bridge the gap between the point in time where interest rates went up and interest rates eventually start coming back down. The problem with that is that you get sticky inflation, right? So we have CPI numbers. And again, you know, you could believe them for what they are. I think they're a complete lie. I think they underestimate inflation grossly when inflation is high. And I think they overestimate inflation when inflation is low or we have deflation. I actually think we might be in a little bit of a spate of deflation, just no one knows it because the numbers are so doctored. But that being said, the inflation numbers they knew were going to hit, and they anticipated ahead of time that they were going to need to give companies a cushion because they were going to have to raise interest rates. The recent CPI numbers have shown that this inflation is not, it didn't just like go away, right? It's proving to be sticky. Part of the reason why it's proving to be sticky is because the continued ripples from the supply chain disruption, the bullwhip effect continues to happen over time. And it just doesn't right itself after one wave, right? Like shortages, then oversupply, and then all of a sudden everything's hunky-dory. No, we ping pong back and forth. Shortages, oversupply, shortages, oversupply. It's just that the waves get less and less and less as time goes on. Well, that inflationary pressure that happens within the system also results because companies are very quick to raise prices. Lowering prices is a lot slower of a process. They don't do it immediately because they don't necessarily have to lower a price if people continue to pay, right? Now, if their expenses go up, they can try and manage their expenses first and raise the price. And then if their expenses go down, they don't really drop the price as much. They drop it maybe a little bit in order to be competitive. But if there's not some kind of collective, you know, depreciation that's happening in the system, they have no incentive to drop prices quickly, right? So that's why inflation is sticking around. And that's why it's currently still, you know, if you believe the CPI, hovering around 2.8 to 3.4%, somewhere in that range, all right? Now, that being said, companies aren't going out of business like large scale, but you're still seeing pockets of weakness, right? You're seeing pockets of weakness in the regional banks. You're seeing pockets of weakness in retail. I think Dollar General just this morning, I should have pulled up the article, just this morning said they're closing 1,000 stores, okay? The cash has also allowed companies to defer what would normally be the firing cycle that happens in these boom and bust cycles. And so the mass layoffs haven't really started. Now, we did see with the most recent labor report, again, completely doctored, or unemployment report, that unemployment's gone up from 3.7 to 3.9. We're still sitting at basically all-time lows in unemployment, but it's beginning to creep up because the companies are now beginning to work their way through that cash hoard. It's one of the reasons why I think a lot of people that are calling for this like doomsday type scenario, I think they're not they're voting with their heart and not with their head. Okay, this like recession, we already had the recession. Okay, the recession happened very quickly, right? And now we're dealing with the hangover from everything that happened as a result of that. What I would say is, you know, in a recession that was due from 2018, 2019, and we knew we were headed into, and also kind of some of the manufactured aspects of the recession that came out of 2020 and the lockdowns. And we're dealing with the hangover from all of the money printing, okay? The reason why they were able to print, now, this is also something that's really interesting to think about. Say their numbers are somewhat accurate, and inflation on average was 9-10% annually, okay? They printed 25% of the money supply in literally months, okay? Maybe we give them credit for a year and a half that they printed, you know, $6 trillion basically. In that year and a half time period, why wasn't inflation 25%, right? In some cases, it should have been more than that. It should have been 40, 50%, depending on, you know, what the elasticity of the goods and the supply chain were. So you've seen an uptick, a big uptick in inflation, and then a pullback. Why wasn't it 25% or 30%? The answer is that a number of these companies locked up that cash. They didn't put it in motion. They didn't invest it in property, plant, and equipment and make these big expansion moves. They sat on it and hoarded it because they were told ahead of time, or maybe we can give them credit for being smart enough. They were smart enough to not spend it because they knew that difficult times were coming. So the result from that is we haven't seen corporate profits top out yet. On average, you're still seeing the top end of the high-performing companies still doing well because they're just doing a good job of managing expenses, slowly trimming workforce. Prices are staying high. There's just enough consumer demand left in the system to be able to continue to give them those outsized profitability. And you're seeing essentially a market share grab by so many of these companies. I mean, Amazon's market share has never been greater, right? And a lot of people point to, oh, well, yeah, but they're also a platform for small businesses and stuff like that. So that's not their market share. Yeah, it is, because they charge fees out the ass to the people that are sellers on Amazon and the Amazon marketplace. So you have to remember that. Like they are flying under the radar in terms of what the overall market share of commerce is, specifically retail commerce in the United States, not to mention all the cloud computing and AI stuff that they're working on. So this is the dynamic of the world that we're in. And quite frankly, anyone who's telling you, oh, you know, things are going to be hunky-dory in the future, I think they're wrong. Anyone who tells you, oh, you know, we're headed for the next Great Depression within the next year or two, I think they're wrong as well. I think we're going into this malaise period for the next 10 years. Obviously, I could be completely wrong as well, but as new information becomes available, I'll amend my hypothesis. But until then, this is the world that I feel like we're living in. All right, what about the markets? Let's pull up the markets and see what's going on here. Before I get into uranium, let's start at the top of what everyone always starts at the top of. We'll go with the crowd here. This is Bitcoin. Bitcoin this morning put in a new record high above 73,000. In fact, if I look at the US dollar pairing, I believe the new high was just about 73,700. Since then, it's pulled back a little bit. So there's some profit taking once it hit that new high. But again, this is kind of actually somewhat healthy price action when something is moving higher. That being said, we'll see what happens. When I zoom out on the chart here, I actually think that Bitcoin could probably run to about 90K. Actually, 91, 92,000. And the reason why I say that is because this head and shoulders pattern, sorry, I know I have a messy chart here, but this head and shoulders pattern, this all-time high, and then the next all-time high, and then we're back to the new all-time high over here on the right-hand side. This inverted head and shoulders, that if you follow that neckline across those highs, you're going to get up here somewhere into the 90 to 92,000 range. So I think that's actually where we could top out. We could actually pop through that level and then come back in. And so when that happens, I can tell you that even though I don't have a big stack, my take profit level is 90,000. That's what I'm looking at. If we hit 90K, I'm taking at least half off. And again, it's not a huge amount of money, but I'm taking half off and I'm waiting for this thing to come back down to earth so that then I can load back up again, because I think that there's another shoulder coming. And the reason why I think there's another shoulder coming, which by the way, won't result in 100,000 Bitcoin, or at least sustaining the level of $100,000 Bitcoin until probably late 2025. And the reason why I think that is because I think the Federal Reserve doesn't start cutting rates. I originally thought they were going to start cutting rates in September. They could still start cutting rates in September. I think they might actually start cutting rates even after that, because the companies have right now enough cash on their balance sheet to keep them going. And so I think they're going to keep the interest rates high so that they don't use their black powder, so to speak, as long as the economy is just clunking along. And as the economy clunks along, they're not going to feel compelled to try and, you know, start some kind of growth, because I think they also understand that their rate cuts sometimes are at the exact wrong time and they don't have any effect other than essentially either inflation or creating debt bubbles, right? And so I think what they're going to do is they're going to sit on that rate at where it is, and they're going to wait. You might see rate cuts in, say, September, depending on, also depends on what unemployment does. But you could also see rate cuts November, December, maybe on into 2024. And that would actually be when I would anticipate that Bitcoin bottoms out on this right-hand shoulder and we move higher. Again, I could be completely wrong. We could head to the moon tomorrow, right? But this is what I'm looking at. And 90,000 is my take profit level on this. Ethereum's taking a little bit of a step back this morning. And they did have a decent, Ethereum has had a decent run for the last couple of days. So it's taking a little bit of a breather. Actually, a lot of cryptos in the marketplace are taking a little bit of a breather today. However, you have some other ones that were taking breathers like yesterday and the day before, and now they're popping off again. Case in point being my golden child here, Solana. Solana's ripping over, push through 150. It's pushing 157. And in fact, it actually topped out somewhere higher than that, like maybe 158. Let me tell you, 159 and a half about. So Solana's continuing to rip. I would be highly surprised if Solana doesn't show you a new all-time high, or at the very least, it challenges the all-time high at 260. Okay. So there's room to run in Solana. Again, I'm not a big advocate of like short-term trading. If you are someone, you could take a look at it. Someone who has a high risk tolerance and you're willing to bet money that you're willing to basically burn. If that's you, you could take a shot at whatever you want. Solana might be one of the ones I look at if that was the case. I do think Solana could run to 260. What else are we looking at? All right. Crypto.com's taking a breather. Matic and Polygon are actually, this is up and we're at 127. Maramatic said 130. So if you've been long Matic, I would actually look at 130 as a potential spot to lighten up a little bit. I think Matic could actually keep going too. You could actually end up seeing 140 or 150 print on Matic would be completely believable in the current environment. And my other darling Hive is taking a breather today back about 3%, but up over that 45 cent level. And actually, I want you to take a look at this price action, and you'll see this with gold too. This channel that it was trading in the yellow on the screen, notice how it popped through it, came back, and actually it didn't hold the top of the channel. What it held was some of the moving averages that came underneath it, right? But so it had enough stuff here that were potential spots for buyers to jump in, that once it hit down to the moving averages, it bounced right back up. And it just so happened to correspond with being just a little bit below that range, the top end of the range it had been trading in. Now it's up over also this long time, this medium term to long term resistance line. And I would think that you're going to see Hive have a decent run here too. I think you might be able to challenge some of these top wicks here in at 50 and 60 cents on Hive. So keeping an eye on that one. I definitely have a decent stake in Hive, so I'm rooting for it pretty good. And then what else is going on here? Helium's up a little bit. The mobile token. I wrote a post on Substack about being able to get $20 unlimited cell phone coverage every single month. And if you actually allow them kind of access to your data on your phone, and it's mostly positioning data and where you connect to the network, so that helps them build the network out more. You could actually either offset the cost of your $20 per month for your cell phone, or you could even end up making more. And mobile's up 7.5% today. Just before I went live, it was up over 10%. So this thing is moving higher. And every time it moves higher, it gives you an opportunity to make even more money every single month, while they're rewarding you for sharing your data on the Helium network on your cell phone. So something to keep note of there. And then something else I want to point out, and we'll look at more of this when we look at the actual metals. But again, I'm keeping an eye on the gold and silver backed cryptos that are out there, the Kinesis Gold and Kinesis Silver. Kinesis Gold is up 1.4% today because gold is up, and Kinesis Silver is up about 3.5% today because silver is up as well. And speak of gold and silver, let's go look at how those beautiful lustrous metals are doing. And a reminder, while we're looking at the precious metals, sign up anarchistinvestor.substack.com. April 1st, you get a shot at free silver. I'm going to be doing a drawing. Any of the free subscribers have a shot, but you got to be signed up before April 1st in order to get into that drawing. Gold, I told you, really good price action. Look at this. Gold's trading at the top end of this range, busts out, okay, moves to all-time highs. Then what happens? Pulls back, and now it tested the top end of that range. It held it, and now it's looking to try and rally again. It could come back and test the top end of the range a couple of times. This is the way price discovery works. But this is really like textbook kind of charting, pattern reading kind of stuff. Again, I'm not advocating anyone short-term trade this stuff, but what I'm telling you, this is what you're looking at. Gold is behaving strong in terms of how it's moving. I would say that on a shorter term time frame, I would like the relative strength to be a little bit stronger. But on the longer term time frames, I mean, it's showing some really high strength here. And we'll have to see whether or not it's topping out or if it's just kind of consolidating and waiting for its next move higher. Same thing with silver. Silver isn't to the top end of the range just yet. It's got some room to run, obviously, to get up here. And in fact, I actually extended the range because if you go further out in time, let me pull the longer term time frame on the chart here, going all the way back to, say, like July of 2020. This thing's been trading in this range, and the range is a little bit broader. It's like $30 on the high end to maybe like $17.75, $17.50 on the low end. Right now, it's trading kind of in the middle of that range, but it's working its way up. As I'm talking about it, it's ticking higher. I guess maybe some of y'all are buying some. Don't buy it in the paper markets. Actually, buy gold or custodian held gold, please, and silver. But so it's moving to the top end of the range. I would expect to see silver, especially because I'm looking at it on this weekly time frame. I've drawn this line, which is essentially kind of like this resistance line for the relative strength. It's pushing through that line. So we'll see if it continues to push through that line. And if it does, that means it's headed to the top end of the range, which could mean $30 or $36 silver here within the next couple of months. Should be interesting. All right. And then copper. Copper is showing some strength today, man. It's like, this is the other thing. Everyone's, you know, forecasting doom and gloom. I mean, copper's a huge bellwether for the economy. And if copper's moving higher, that typically means there's some supply shortage or there's demand. And like I said, the supply shortages, the supply chain disruption is actually kind of correcting itself over time. So I would expect this to actually be anticipated increases in demand. So you're seeing copper move higher. Even though the casino is taking a little bit of a breather today, this is actually something that could be a proxy for at least some, you know, strength in the economy, at least demand for commodities. If it's not demand based off of building, it could be demand based off of anticipated higher levels of inflation moving forward, which is entirely possible based off of the CPI reading that we most recently got. All right, fixed income, high yield bonds. Still sticking around. Like I said yesterday, we could just end up gravitating right through this line of resistance. We're in this trading range. It could be consolidation. It could be distribution. We're waiting to find out here. Okay. And again, if the Fed does decide to cut earlier, this thing's probably going to take off higher because corporate debt, high yield corporate debt that's looked at as riskier now becomes less risky because the borrowing costs, it is assumed, will drop. And again, you have to see the follow through on that as to whether or not it actually plays out, because there are scenarios where the Fed could cut rates and rates might not drop. But that being said, the most common occurrence is the Fed cuts rates, debt gets cheaper, and these zombie companies that might die because of their debt burdens that have been holding on because they have cash hoards in order to make their installment payments, now they can actually breathe a little bit, restructure their debt, and move higher. So we'll see what happens. They might try and keep the party going, so to speak. And then U.S. Treasuries, yields are up a little bit, and that means people are selling Treasuries, and they're probably buying into things like, I actually didn't even look at oil, but oil was popping off a little bit earlier today too, which again points to either demand or it points to anticipated inflation higher on here or higher for longer as far as inflation is concerned. So that's something else to keep an eye on. And yields going up on the treasury could mean that people are selling treasuries and buying other riskier things like oil and commodities in anticipation of that inflationary cycle. as well as gold and silver, by the way. All right. And then the last thing we'll look at, I don't look at too many stocks, but again, NVIDIA has not gone back to re-challenge that high that we saw on Friday. So again, something to keep an eye on. NVIDIA, once it breaks, you're going to see some violence in the stock. It's not going to fall easy or systematically. I think once the bubble pops in NVIDIA, there's going to be a significant revaluation that happens within the semiconductor space. And then the question is going to be, does that money move somewhere else? Or does it just go south and, you know, get put into U.S. treasuries and things like that? Because we are headed towards a recession or depression. So that's something to keep an eye on moving forward as well within the casino. So with that, that's all I'm really looking at. I'm going to stop the screen share for right now. Again, a reminder, I'm here live every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern. Happy to hear your comments, questions, concerns, what you're looking at. I would love to hear from you. And look, I appreciate all the support and everyone tuning in. If you're watching on the recorded version or on the audio version, please give me a sub, a like, a subscribe, share it. And again, throw something into the comments. Let me know you're there. Let me know you're listening. Let me see what you're looking at and what you're you know, worried about, or what you're really anticipating, you're looking forward to and thinking it's working out well. So I'm totally interested in all of that. So with that, appreciate everyone. Have a very good afternoon. Peace.